Well, good evening, everyone. It's great to see you. We are back this evening working our way through this ancient book of Deuteronomy. It's an old book. It's Moses' sermons. He preached to the people of Israel. They are three sermons, and we're kind of chugging our way through them together. And we've reached chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible, Jim would love to bring you one. So just put a hand up and he'd love to bring you one over. Just before I get reading, I just want to explain what's happened. So we've been working our way through really a chapter at a time up to that. Now, some of you, if you're paying attention on Sunday nights, might be thinking, man, we're going to be here all year because it's quite a long book. But we're actually going to speed up a bit now. And the reason that we're going to do that is from chapter 12, as we have it, through to chapter 26, you have Moses giving very detailed explanations of kind of very small laws. And so you get a lot of kind of very detailed stuff. And what we hope to do is just kind of dip in and out of that. And in doing so, we hope that we will kind of model how, as New Covenant believers, New Testament believers, we can handle those kind of laws. But if we were to preach through every single one of those, we will literally be here probably till my retirement. And so it will take us a long time to do that. So that's what we're going to do. We're kicking that off in chapter 12 tonight. But let me read from verse 1. These are the decrees and laws that you must be careful to follow in the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has given you to possess, as long as you live in the land. Destroy completely all the places on the high mountains, on the hills, and under every spreading tree, where the nations you are dispossessing worship their gods. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and burn their Asherah poles in the fire. Cut down the idols of their gods and wipe out their names from those places. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way, but you are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all your tribes to put his name there for his dwelling. To that place you must go. There bring your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, what you have vowed to give, and your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. There, in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your family shall eat and shall rejoice in everything you have put your hand to, because the Lord your God has blessed you. Excuse me. You are not to do as we do here today, everyone doing as they see fit. Since you have not yet reached the resting place and the inheritance the Lord your God is giving you. But you will cross the Jordan and settle in the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. And he will give you rest from all your enemies around you so that you will live in safety. Then to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, there you are to bring everything I command you, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, and all the choice possessions you have vowed to the Lord. And there rejoice before the Lord your God, you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levites from your towns who have no land allotted to them or any inheritance of their own. Be careful not to sacrifice your burnt offerings anywhere you please. Offer them only at the place the Lord will choose in one of your tribes, and there observe everything I command you. Nevertheless, you may slaughter your animals in any of your towns and eat as much of the meat as you want, as if it were gazelle or deer, according to the blessings the Lord your God gives you. Both the ceremonially unclean and the clean may eat it, but you must not eat the blood, pour it out on the ground like water. You must not eat in your own towns the tithe of your corn and new wine and olive oil, or the firstborn of your herds and flocks, or whatever you have vowed to give, or your freewill offerings or special gifts. Instead, you are to eat them in the presence of the Lord your God at the place the Lord your God will choose. You, your sons and your daughters, your male and your female servants, and the Levites from your towns, and you are to rejoice before the Lord your God in everything you put your hand to. Be careful not to neglect the Levites as long as you live in the land. When the Lord your God has enlarged your territory as he promised you, and you crave meat and say, "I would like some meat." What a great phrase that is. "I would like some meat." Then you may eat as much of it as you want. If the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far away from you, you may slaughter animals from the herds and flocks the Lord has given you, as I have commanded you, and in your own towns you may eat as much of them as you want. Eat them as you would gazelle or deer. Both the ceremonially unclean and the clean may eat it. But be sure that you do not eat the blood, because the blood is the life, and you must not eat the life with the meat. You must not eat the blood. Pour it out on the ground like water. Do not eat it, so that it may go well with you and your children after you, because you will be doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord. But take your consecrated things and whatever you have vowed to give, and go to the place the Lord will choose. Present your burnt offerings on the altar of the Lord your God, both the meat and the blood. The blood of your sacrifices must be poured beside the altar of the Lord your God. You may eat the meat. Be careful to obey all these regulations I'm giving you, so that it may always go well with you and your children after you, because you will be doing what is good and right in the eyes of the Lord your God. The Lord your God will cut off before you the nations you are about to invade and dispossess. But when you have driven them out and settled in their land, and after they have been destroyed before you, be careful not to be ensnared by inquiring about their gods, saying, "How do these nations serve their gods? We will do the same." You must not worship the Lord your God in their way, because in worshiping their gods, they do all kinds of detestable things the Lord hates. They even burn their sons and daughters in the fire as sacrifices to their gods. See that you do all I command you. Do not add to it or take away from it. And if you've closed your Bibles, please open them again to Deuteronomy 12. And yes, the Holy Spirit did record this chapter for us. So all this stuff about sacrificing animals and all this kind of thing, it is for us as disciples of our Lord Jesus. And so we're going to seek God's help to see what these chapters have to teach us about being disciples of Jesus this evening. So let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Father, we believe tonight that you are a holy God. You are God and there is no other. You are God and there is none besides you. And Father, we believe that we encounter your holiness. We see your purity. We see your majesty on the pages of Scripture. And so, Father, tonight as we gather around your word and perhaps to a chapter that seems a bit obscure to us, that you would reveal your glory tonight, that you would show us Jesus on these pages of this ancient book, that we might be spurred on tonight to stand firm in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, that you might move among us by your Spirit and cause this chapter to live for us tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Frank Sinatra, not that I knew him personally, but he sang that song, didn't he, with the famous line, "I did it my way." And it's a song, isn't it, that often gets celebrated or sung at funerals or played at funerals as some kind of a triumphant anthem at the end of someone's life, that they did it their way. They chose to do things how they wanted to do it, and it's kind of a celebration almost. Sometimes it gets played in kind of motivational evenings, this idea of kind of, you can do it. You can do it your way. You can do it however you want. You just rustle up that inner you, that inner power, and you can do it your way. But friends, as we come to Deuteronomy chapter 12 tonight, doing it your way is something that Moses eagerly steers the people of God away from when it comes to worshiping God. What I mean by worshiping God is coming near to God in relationship, drawing near to Him as the one who created this whole universe, drawing near to Him as the holy God that we've just sung about. Actually, as we listen carefully to what Moses says to this ancient people of God, he says, you are not to do it your way. Do not listen to Frank Sinatra. Not that I think he's that old. You know, we're not to worship God in any way except the way that God prescribes to us. Any way except God's way. Now, let me just show you how that works out in this chapter, okay? Look with me at verse 4. He says, Moses says to this ancient people, you must not worship the Lord your God in their way. Their way being the nations that are around you. And then just flick over to chapter 12 and verse 31, and you'll see there it says the same. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way. These verses form bookends to this chapter. So perhaps all this stuff in the middle that's a little bit obscure to us, actually it's all kind of outlining these details. And these bookends to this chapter capture for us a very real and present danger that the people of God of any era face. See, as the people of God found themselves surrounded by nations that worshipped other gods in all sorts of ways, using all sorts of techniques and rituals, the temptation is that the people Moses is addressing will start to take interest and start to worship the Lord, that is their God, the one who has rescued them from Egypt. They will start to worship their God in other people's kind of ways. See, look at verse 2 and 3. You begin to get a flavor for the sort of environment they were about to live in. So as they conquer this land, they go in to take possession. What are they to do? Well, destroy completely all the places on the high mountains, on the hills, and under every spreading tree where the nations you are dispossessing worship their gods. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and burn their Asherah poles in the fire. Cut down the idols of their gods and wipe out their names from those places. And again, if you just come over to verse 30. As they enter the land, there's a set of questions they might start to be intrigued by. Well, how do these nations worship their gods, serve their gods? We will do the same. You see, so just imagine here is this nation of Israel, this rescued people of God. They're walking in, you know, a dad's got his kids all around him. Dad, what's that pole over there? You know, what is that? What are they doing over there? Oh, son, I think that's one of their gods. And the family conversation rolls on. What's all that stuff going on over there by that tree? Oh, well, that's where they worship their gods. It's surrounding them. It's absorbed in the world that they're about to enter. And these other religions that they were encountering, these other gods around them, sing out loud, I did it my way. We worshiped God our way, the ways we came up with. And friends, the very same danger that faced this ancient people of God that Moses addresses here, I want to say to you this evening is the very same danger that we face. It's a danger that we face as disciples of our Lord Jesus. We too are surrounded by people who believe different things to what we believe. We too are surrounded by people who worship different gods, whether they call it a god or not, whether they call themselves a religion or not. We are surrounded by people with ideologies and worldviews and thoughts on how things operate. We too are surrounded by different voices that might try and influence the way we relate to our God, the way we worship Him, the way we live in relationship to God, the way we live out our Christian lives. I'm just to try and illustrate this, just to scratch the surface. How many times have you been in a conversation where someone says something like this? Well, I know you say that about God, but I like to think this about God. You ever been in a conversation like that? Isn't that just singing, I did it my way? I find, you know, I know you get close to God when you do that, but I find I get close to God when I do this. You ever had a conversation with someone like that? You see, who influences you most on how you do relationship with God, how you live out your being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus? A very real danger that we all face, especially as we go on, I think, in our Christian lives, is worshiping God in other people's way rather than sticking with the way that God gives us to worship Him. The danger is that the unsung anthem of the way we live out our Christian lives is, I'll do it my way. I'll do it how I want to. I'll do it in the ways that make me comfortable. And I think that's not just a danger, actually, for those of us here who are Christians. Actually, if you're here tonight and you would say, well, I'm probably not there yet, just trying to work it out, live it out a little bit, then actually this is a danger that perhaps many people think about God in general. Actually, how do you get to know God? How do you discover who the true God is? How do you approach the God who sits above this universe? Well, lots of people would say, well, it doesn't matter. All roads. Even in the last few weeks, I've had conversations with people who have said to me, all roads must lead to God, mustn't they? If there's one God, you just got to pick your path. I've had that very conversation in the last few weeks. Just pick your methods, pick your path, and you'll get to know God. However, as we listen very carefully tonight to Deuteronomy chapter 12, the answer comes back with a resounding no. No, there isn't many ways to God. No, you can't just adopt all the different ways. You can't do it your way. See, look again at verse 4. You must not, Moses says, you must not worship the Lord your God in their way. Or again, verse 8. You are not to do as we do here today, everyone doing as they see fit. It's not pick and mix religion. It's not pick and mix kind of just the bits that make you work and happy and feel like you connect to God. No. You've got to listen to God. You can't worship God, be an ongoing relationship with God, live out your Christian life your way or the nation's way. No, there is one way, and it is God's way. And that's the fundamental message of this chapter. That's what Moses is saying to the people. Worship God His way. That is the way that you, as the people of God, we must stick with and be unmoved from. There is one way, and it is God's way. And so that begs the question, doesn't it? What is God's one way? What is the way that we are to stick with and to be unmoved from and be kind of not let the nations around us influence those things? What is it we're to stick with? Well, I want to show you there are three components. There's always three things in a sermon, isn't there? But here it is. There are three components genuinely in this chapter to worshiping God His way. And it hasn't changed from the days of Moses to the days of today. And so here they are. You ready for them? I know it's a Sunday night, but here we go. Three components. Glenn's ready for them. That is good. And I want to show you that these three components are true for you, whether you are coming to God for the first time or whether you are coming to God for the millionth time. These three components stand when it comes to true worship. And here's the first. Worship has to revolve around God's chosen place. Worship has to revolve around God's chosen place. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of turning up to the wrong address. You ever done that? Or is it just me? It's just me. Okay. When I arrived at Enfield and I started working for the church here, Johnny sent me off on a visit to go and see someone connected with the church. So very enthusiastically, I went up to this door and I knocked on the door and someone came and I said, oh, I'm here to see, I'll call them Lee. I'm here to see Lee. And the person just looked at me very strangely and said, well, there's no Lee here. And at which point I was like, oh.
And so kind of sheepishly kind of backed out and kind of went away. And then I looked more carefully at the address Johnny had given me, and I'd gone to the wrong street and I'd knocked on the wrong door. So it wasn't just that it was the wrong door number. I'd gone to the wrong address. And unsurprisingly, when I rock up to the wrong address, I don't find Lee. He's not there. You see, it's a very simple thing, isn't it? But I want to tell you that the same is true when it comes to finding God, to meeting God, and to worshiping God. You see, He has given His people an address, a place where you can find Him, where you can draw near to Him. That's what Moses is relaying to the people here. Just let me show you, okay, so we can see that we're all on the same page here. Look at verse 4 and 5 again. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way, but you are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all your tribes to put His name there for His dwelling. To that place you must go. And again, come down to verse 11. He keeps going through this theme. Then to the place the Lord your God will choose as His dwelling for His name, there you are to bring everything I command you. Again, look at verse 14, if you're still following. Offer them only at the place the Lord your God will choose in one of your tribes, and there observe everything I've commanded you. And again in verse 18, you see this? It's keep coming up again. Instead, you are to eat them in the presence of the Lord your God at the place your Lord, the Lord your God will choose. You get the idea? We don't have to go through every reference. It's just reiterated again and again through this chapter. It is the place the Lord chooses. That's where you go to meet God. That's where you go to worship Him. Not anywhere, not under a high mountain, not under a spreading tree. You go to the place God chooses. That is where you meet Him. That is where He is. And did you notice there's a little phrase that Moses uses about the place that God chooses? Did you notice it? It comes up several times. Look at it in verse 5. It is the place that He puts His name. You notice that? And again, in verse 11, it is the dwelling for His name. Now that's super significant, because what it means is that the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, the rescuing God, is attaching Himself, His name, all that He is, to one place. And He's saying, this is where you find me. It is the place on earth where all that He is, all that His name represents, is kind of concentrated down like a beam of energy. Now, of course, God isn't limited to a place, but that's what He chooses to do, to put all His glory, all His presence in one place, the dwelling for His name. And Moses says to the people in no uncertain terms that the worship of God, the place you go to encounter God and be in relationship with Him, is at the place God chooses, not wherever you like, not in any particular place. That's where He dwells. And look again at verse 4, how carefully it reiterates this. To that place you must go. Now actually, the physical location is not revealed in this chapter. And as we work through the Old Testament, you discover that actually the place moved around a little bit where God chose for His name. But eventually, it finds a more permanent address in a temple in a city called Jerusalem. And Jerusalem and the temple were regularly referred to, and they are, if you read the Psalms, as the dwelling for His name. The place that God had attached His name to, the place where His glory and His presence dwelt in a concentrated way, and its dedication of the temple. Some of you will know the story. When Solomon had finished the first temple in all its glory, a cloud representing the presence of God filled this temple. Why? Because it's the place where God was. It's the place where God put His name on earth. And to engage in worship of God, the living God, the true God, the rescuing God, you had to go to His place. You had to go to the place He assigned on earth. And friends, I want to tell you, and before you throw me out, give me a hearing, I want to tell you that the same is true today. God's place, though, is no longer a temple.
in a city in the Middle East. God's place is now a person. God's place is the Lord Jesus. See, where did God set his place? Where is he dwelling on earth? Well, it is in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about the names he's given at the Christmas story. Emmanuel. What does that word mean? God with us. It's God dwelling on earth, God's glory, God's presence concentrated in one place on earth. Where do you see God? Where do you encounter God? By going to Jesus. John 1, verse 14, Jesus is described as the Word who became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He tabernacled among us. He presenced himself with us. In John chapter 2, Jesus, in speaking of his own body and his own death, says, "Destroy this temple," referring to his body, "and I will rebuild it again in 3 days." Jesus relates himself to the temple, the dwelling place of God on earth. And in John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Where do we go to worship God? What is the way that God prescribes for us? Where do we find him? What is his address? If you want to know God and you want to worship God his way, you have to go to Jesus. And some of you might be sitting there saying, I get that, but Jesus isn't here on earth anymore. Where can we find him today? Where can we encounter Jesus, this place we are to go to worship? Well, friends, I want to tell you that we encounter him in the church. We encounter Jesus in his body. A body is attached to a head, hopefully. And that is what the church is. We are attached to our living head. Listen to how the church is described in Ephesians chapter 2. We are a group of people who, through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, in him, in Jesus Christ, are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You see, I've just joined a lot of dots for you in the Bible. But worshiping God his way will center around the place that God has chosen to put his name and where he dwells, the place that he chooses. And that, my friends, is Jesus and his body here on earth, the church. You see, I've often heard people say, and maybe I just get into an awful lot more of these conversations, but I've heard people say to me, "Well, I don't really need to go to church to be a Christian." Have you ever heard that? People say that? Now, you could argue it out and we could split hairs and say, well, in some ways they're probably right. You know, actually it's about Jesus and faith in Jesus and the thief on the cross. Well, he never went to a church service, did he? And you can argue all those kind of things, but actually there's a fundamentally wrong thing about that. Because the dwelling place of God on earth, the place of worship, the place that we encounter God, is the place where he has set his name. This is the way he has chosen for people to encounter him. It is through church. As unimpressive as it looks, not saying anything insulting about you tonight, but as unimpressive as we look, this is where God has chosen to set his name on earth, among his people who have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so my question for you as we listen into this tonight and say worship has to revolve around God's place is, does your worship life of your life of worshiping God center around God's place? Does it center around, first of all, the Lord Jesus, who says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And does it center around church? See, church is so important. Because church is where he has set his name on earth. Church is where he wants his people to worship. The dwelling of his Holy Spirit here on earth. Second thing, you still with me? Good. Worship God his way revolves around God's place. But actually it also revolves around God's altar. Not only see in this chapter is there a strong emphasis on going to the place that God chooses to worship. But Moses speaks about the need to go to God's altar. By that I mean the particular place of sacrifice that God chooses. So just look with me, for example, at verse 13.
trying to make sense of some of these instructions. Moses says to the people, be careful not to sacrifice your burnt offerings anywhere you please. Offer them only at the place the Lord will choose in one of your tribes, and there observe, everything I have commanded you. You see, you can't just offer sacrifices anywhere. You can't kind of do anything you like. You can't do it your way. Not any type of sacrifice will do the job of cleansing you up to meet a holy God. Not any sacrifice that you offer in any place will forgive your sins so that you can walk into the presence of a holy and a righteous God. No, instead, come with me to verse 27, because here's where it's spelt out for us. As you get all these details about sacrifices, but verse 27, what does he say? Present your burnt offerings on the altar of the Lord your God. Both the meat and the blood of your sacrifices must be poured out beside the altar of the Lord your God, but you may eat of the meat. Now, worship of God, again, here's some details we might be thinking, but what is the message Moses is saying? When you worship God, if you want to be in ongoing relationship with God, it has to center around the altar that God chooses. That's what its name is, the altar of the Lord, the altar of God, the place of God's prescribed sacrifices. Now, again, the same is true for worship of God today. Worship of God has to center around God's altar, the place of his prescribed sacrifice. Now, those of you who are more familiar with ornate buildings and things will think, well, there's no altar in here. You know, there's no kind of paraphernalia or whatever here. And we don't even have kind of a big pile of blood outside where we sacrifice animals anymore. So where is this altar? If it revolves around an altar, if it revolves around a place of sacrifice, where is it? What is it? Well, hopefully you'll begin to join the dots and say the altar of our Lord is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the altar of our God, where Jesus, the Lamb of God, was crucified on our behalf. He was sacrificed for us. Get this very graphic image of the blood being poured out on the ground beside the altar. Without being too graphic, what do you think was dripping from Jesus as he hung there lacerated from beatings? His blood was being poured out onto the ground around this altar. The altar where Jesus gave his life in place of ours. The altar where my sins are forgiven. The altar where once for all a way is open to God. And friends, it is only through Jesus and what he accomplished on the cross, the altar of the cross, that we can come to him, keep coming to God, and keep on coming in this life of worship. Church is God's place. And when you find God's place, you better make sure that at the very center of the church's life is the altar, the cross of our Lord Jesus, because that is the only way we can come to our holy God. It is only in the sacrifice he has prescribed, the once-for-all sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, you can't do it your way. You can't approach God your way or any other way. It is only through Jesus and through his sacrifice. And so don't be moved. Don't be moved from church. Don't be moved from the altar, the cross. It is our means by which we bring all our worship. It is the way has been opened up through us, what Jesus did. Keep going with the cross. Don't leave it behind. It is central to your worship life. Jesus and his church is God's place. The cross is the altar. It's how we come near to God. But then there's a third thing this chapter draws our attention to. How do we worship God? How do we go on in this life of living near God? Well, we need God's words. I had the joy last weekend of going whitewater rafting for Tim's 30th birthday. It was fun. It was cold, but it was very good fun. And at the back of the boat was an instructor. So there was 9 of us in this big kind of rubber dinghy thing. And there was somebody at the back, an instructor, unsurprisingly, saying instructions to all of us lot who had no idea what we were doing. In fact, it's probably more accurate to say that he was bellowing instructions at us lot in this boat. But the one thing that really struck me as we were going down this white water thing is that quite early on he'd said to us, listen, it's so important that you listen to my instructions that if you don't listen to them, we're going to have to get off the water. That's what he said to us. He said, it's so important that you listen to me. Without them, you're going to go astray. Without them, you're going to have to leave the water. And in the same way, it is true when it comes to listening to the instructions that God gives about worship, about coming to him, about a life of living in relationship with him, about coming to him his way and not our way. See, look at chapter 12, verse 1. These are the decrees and laws you must be careful to follow in the land the Lord your God of your ancestors has given to you to possess as long as you live in the land. And then the whole of this chapter, and some of the details are a bit alien to us, a bit confusing, but the whole of this chapter is instructions from God on how you come near in worship. What you're meant to do about all this unclean and clean and eating and rejoicing and celebrating and how you're to kill animals and where you're to kill animals. It's detailed instructions from God on how they were to do life. And then just look how the chapter ends. Chapter 12, verse 32. See that you do all I command you. Do not add to it or take away from it. Worship God's way, it's this very simple point, but worship God's way is to be informed by and obedient to the words of God. Worship of God involves listening to God and going on listening to God for the whole of our life. That is what it means to worship God's way. We mustn't add to God's word or take away from God's word. And friends, just to try and make this relevant, I think we live in times and we live in a country where people who own the name Christian have been spending a lot of time over recent years adding and taking away from what the instructions of our God are. About sexuality, about marriage, about the exclusivity of Jesus. And the question I've got is, are these voices influencing the way that we think we can do Christianity, the way we think we can worship God? Well, we'll do it our way. Or are we going to be people who say, no, God has said this, and so we're going to do it, because that's what he's spoken. True worship of God, his way, involves his place, it involves his altar, and it involves his words. And Moses says to these people, don't be moved from it. Don't be moved from those things. Don't be influenced by those around you. And friends, as we sit here tonight as the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, what that means for us is that God's place is Jesus. Be unmoved from Jesus. Don't go anywhere else. It's only through Jesus and his body here on earth. That is the way God wants you to worship. Stick with his altar, the cross. There is no other place of sacrifice that will bring you access to God, that will cleanse you from your sins. Be unmoved from the cross. And you must stick with his instructions. Frank Sinatra, let's come back to him. Here's my question. Are you trying to do worship your way? Are you going to sing triumphantly at the end of your life? I did it my way. Are you trying to get to God your own way tonight? Maybe you're here and you're not a believer yet. Are you just trying to work your own way to God, find your own path? Keep worshiping God. Are you just trying to worship God your own way and live out that life? Or will you do it God's way? Will you keep coming to God's place, relying on his altar and obeying his words? Friends, as we wrap it up tonight, I just want to just come back to verse 2 and 3, because it's a pretty powerful instruction. Just look at verse 2 and 3. This is Moses' instruction to the people, nervous that they would
kind of start adopting in other ways. This is what he says: destroy completely all the high places on the high mountains, on the hills, and under every spreading tree where the nations you are dispossessing worship their gods. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, and burn their Asherah poles in the fire. Cut down the idols of their gods and wipe out their names from those places. Now, I am not suggesting in any way that we go around actually smashing up some things in other people's worlds. But here's the question I've got for us tonight. Are there some things, some voices, some influences, some rituals, some habits, some patterns that we need to be destroying or breaking down because they do not match God's way to worship? Perhaps some of you guys here have had influences in your lives from other religions. You've been raised through other religions. Then my question for you is, do you need to perhaps leave behind some of those practices? Are you trying to somehow weave them in to worship of the Lord, or are you going to stick with God's way to worship? Are there any influences for all of us that are pulling us down a line of worshiping God our way, or the nation's way, rather than God's way? And if that is true, we need God's help to get busy this week, to work on worshiping God the way he tells us to worship him, and not another way. Should we pray for that help now? And then we'll sing together. Our God and our Father in heaven, we are deeply thankful that you have opened a way for us to come into relationship with you. Father, thank you that even from these ancient of days where you loved and rescued this people of Israel, it has been clear that you would choose a place, that you would have a particular set of sacrifice, and that you would have particular instructions that would bring your people near to you in worship. And we thank you, Father, that we sit here tonight as people who have your place in the church, have your place in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his cross, that altar where he sacrificed himself so that we might be forgiven. Lord, please would we be people who never stray from the cross and our need of the cross. And Father, please tonight would we be people who stick with your word. Father, where there are things that are influencing us away from worshiping you your way, please would you help us to do what the Israelites are called to do and smash up some things in our lives that may be bad influences on the way we worship. Father, help us, please. Guide us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.